There is officially less than 2 weeks to go before the scheduled end of the spring legislative session in Illinois, and there's still no budget and still no shape of a possible budget emerging from lawmaker discussions. GLT's Charlie Schlenker talked with State Treasurer Michael Frerichs about retirement savings, the state bicentennial, and a budget.
I would say right now, the two sides seem very far apart. However, I served in the state Senate, and I've seen that when there is a will, things can move very quickly in Springfield. So I am optimistic they will get some sort of resolution.
Is the kind of rhetoric that's popping up healthy?
I would say the rhetoric being used is not helpful to the process here. But I've talked with House Republicans, some of which who voted for the budget last year, voted to override the governor's veto, and I've asked them if they think we're going to get a budget. And they said they didn't withstand the abuse that was directed at them by the governor's office and choose not to run for re-election, so they go another year without a budget. There seems to be a will for a bipartisan solution, whether the governor wants to be part of it or not.
What shape do you think that will take, since the state's budget is $2-3 billion out of balance, if the governor's proposed pension shift and health care cuts don't go anywhere, and it's widely, I think, acknowledged that there isn't a lot of will to enact those things?
Yeah, the governor proposed the largest backdoor property tax increase in Illinois history. I don't think there's a will to enact that in the Illinois General Assembly. What they will ultimately do to plug some of those holes remains to be seen, but my belief is, having talked to some of these people, there is a real will to work together. They're tired of the governing by crisis. They're tired of the creating problems to leverage their personal agenda. And I think that eventually, before July 1st, we will have a budget in place.
One of the ways to nibble around the edges of the large structural deficit is to pay off back bills. There is a bill to allow the government to use the investments that you oversee to pay off those back bills, and then to have the interest that would have been paid externally to come back to your office. How much of a difference could that make?
Well, in the Treasurer's Office, we can't solve all of our state's problems, but we're trying to be part of the solution. And one of the things we witnessed was about $1 billion being paid in interest on these backlog bills. You know, the bill's backlog grew to about $16 billion. We've paid about $1 billion in interest, and that goes mostly to out-of-state New York bankers. Well, we would like to keep more of that money here in the state of Illinois. I'm the chief investment officer. We have money to invest. We'd like to invest in the state, to limit the amount of interest the state is paying, and to keep what we do pay, keep more of it, here in Illinois, to help fund our roads and our bridges, and to fund our schools.
How much interest would be kept? The state's currently paying, what, 12% interest?
It's an effective rate of 12% interest. We propose lowering that interest rate to about 3.5%, and then we would then take the proceeds and put it into things like our road fund. We think that has double benefits to the state of Illinois. Less goes out and more gets reinvested here in our state.
Borrowing bills are sometimes viewed askance in the General Assembly. What's the reception this one is getting?
So far, people understand the concept and they've been very supportive. It passed through the Senate and we're working to get it passed to the House right now.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with State Treasurer Michael Frerichs. You've been going around the state talking about the Secure Choice program. We're 3 years into that pilot program now. How is it working out?
Well, it's been 3 years since the legislation was passed. We are setting a program up that's going to help about 1.2 million people save their own money for their retirement. We're making it easier for them to do something they know they already need to do. But too many Americans have not. We have a retirement crisis in this country, with about a third of retirees are going to rely on Social Security for 90% or more of their retirement income. That means they're going to be living near poverty. That's not a retirement with dignity, and that's not how you enjoy your golden years. So what we propose is helping people save through automatic payroll deduction. If you have a pension, if you have a 401k, those people are saving. It comes out of their paycheck. It gets invested. A nest egg grows. For too many Americans, they don't have that option, and that's what Secure Choice is going to do. We're rolling out our pilot program right now, and we'll start enrolling more employees this fall.
Now, this is intended for employees who work at firms who do not offer their own 401k-style program, and it's a Roth IRA. Explain how a Roth differs from a conventional IRA or a 401k.
So in the Roth IRA, we'll take out money out of the paycheck, put it in there. It's after tax, but the growth then
so you pay tax rate. You pay taxes up front.
You pay taxes up front, but then the money you're left over with, you put into a savings account, and that growth is tax-free when you take it out.
And which employees are likely to be part of this?
So if you work for an employer that has a pension or that offers a 401k, this will not affect you. But this is for over half of the employers out there in the state who don't currently offer a workplace retirement savings option. If you work for an employer with 25 or more employees who's been doing business in the state longer than 2 years and doesn't offer a workplace retirement program, you're going to have that option now.
So their employers will be required to offer this if they don't offer their own.
Correct. Employers will have to offer this. Employees will be signed up. If they don't like the amount being taken away from their paycheck, they can increase it, they can lower it, or they can opt out of the program.
There are limits on how much you can contribute to a Roth each year based on income. Is it going to really do more than nibble around the edges of the retirement savings issue?
Well, right now, there are about a third of Americans that have nothing saved for retirement. This is not going to make millionaires and billionaires, but it's going to create some nest egg that's going to be very valuable in retirement. And it's going to be valuable to the retiree and to their family, but also to our state, because when these people retire with no assets, they're much more likely to access state services, costing us all. So I think that working in a way to help people save their own money, to build up a bit of a nest egg, is in the best interest of everyone in the state.
Where stands the pilot program then? You're rolling it out when and how many early adopters do you think there will be?
Right now we are working with employers who volunteer to participate. We're trying to limit the number of employers coming in because we want to work through any kinks or any problems that might come up before we roll this out this fall to a much larger group of employers.
So you would probably want those employers in different parts of the state, in different jurisdictions to reflect the wrinkles in their own communities.
So we have signed up employers in different parts of the state, in different industries, in different sizes, trying to work through these issues now so that when it rolls out, it will be flawless.
And when will the full rollout be, do you think?
Well, it's going to roll out in phases. So employers with more than 500 employees will start enrollment this fall. And then the next summer, we're going to enroll employees between 100 and 500, and then between 25 and 100 in the next fall.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. State Treasurer Michael Frerichs is our guest. You've sent a couple of letters, to Attorney General Jeff Sessions on the medical marijuana issue. Why is that an important one for your office and for you to speak on?
Well, we are in charge of collecting taxes and fees for legitimate businesses here in the state of Illinois, like medical cannabis dispensaries or cultivators. But if they don't have access to banking services, these businesses, these entrepreneurs who invested money, have to pay us in duffel bags full of cash. That is dangerous for them. It is dangerous for us and our banking relationships. It's not the way business should operate. Other businesses, other legitimate businesses, don't have to do this. When these companies are literally carrying around duffel bags full of cash to handle payroll, they are targets for criminals. You know, we passed medical cannabis in the state of Illinois to help those with debilitating pain or illnesses. These entrepreneurs invested money in providing services, providing for these people. And then our attorney general came in and just muddied the waters. And that's caused some banks to pull out of this market.
How did he muddy the waters? What did he do?
So under the Obama administration, they had produced the Cole memos, which made it clear that a bank working with a legitimate legal business in our state wouldn't be prosecuted or lose their charter. Attorney General Sessions rescinded those memos. Now there's great uncertainty, and some banks, including the Bank of Springfield, have announced they are pulling out of this market, leaving some of these legitimate businesses without a banking option.
Why is the Bank of Springfield an important piece of this?
Well, because the Bank of Springfield was one of the largest providers to Illinois-based medical cannabis businesses.
How much of the business did they serve in the state?
They served approximately 70% of the businesses, medical cannabis businesses in the state.
You haven't received an answer, as I understand it.
We have not. We have sent multiple letters. We received no answer. And this comes from an administration that said they were a pro-jobs and pro-business administration. These are legitimate entrepreneurs who have invested millions of dollars, and they're now left with great uncertainty and great risk to their enterprises.
Attorney General Sessions is very clear about his feelings about marijuana in general, though. He views it as a highly addictive substance and a gateway to other drugs and a pernicious influence on the country. You might not like the clarity you get if you were to get clarity.
Well, I think what we can say, if you want to talk about addictive medicines, we can talk about the opioid crisis in this country and what the administration is not doing there. When tens of thousands of Americans are dying every year, nearly 100,000 Americans every year dying from opioid addictions, that's a place we probably ought to start with, not medical cannabis.
Yeah, but given the Attorney General's position and the unlikelihood that he's going to change that, what other avenues do you have to address the problem of a need for a financial system to handle medical marijuana transactions?
Well, as long as these businesses are legal in the state of Illinois and there are patients out there who need access to this medicine to control their pain or to control their illnesses, we're going to work with existing banks to try and find solutions. So far, we have not found another bank willing to come in at the scale of Bank of Springfield, but we are in negotiations and discussions.
Is there another role for the state to play in that if commercial entities are unwilling to assume the risk of federal action?
Well, I am the chief banker for the state of Illinois, but we do not have a state bank. We have relationships with banks out there. We can help with capitalization of those banks, but I don't offer direct loans out of my office.
Is that something that the General Assembly would contemplate, do you think? Is that something you would ask them to contemplate, or is there another wrinkle?
Well, right now we're working on solutions. We're getting very close to the end of the session. I think any sort of new legislation would be very difficult to get passed. But our hope is that we can work with banks, with credit unions, to find a solution here.
This is also the bicentennial year of the state of Illinois, 1818. December 3rd, it's coming up. What are you doing to mark that?
Well, we want to celebrate the treasurer's office. We have the ability to mint a bicentennial coin. So what we wanted to do was have it designed by Illinois residents. We accepted a lot of submissions last month, and soon we're going to start letting voters in the state vote on what will be stamped on one side of that coin. And then they can go to our website and purchase a coin if they want to.
Describe a few of the designs, would you?
We've had a variety of creative thoughts out there, some invoking previous presidents from the state of Illinois, some are agricultural history, various monuments that are well known in the state of Illinois, but we help facilitate this. We want this to be the people's coin. For our 200th birthday, we want the voters of the state to weigh in and say what they would like to have printed on their coin.
How do you fit Lincoln, Grant, and Obama on a coin?
There are creative people out there, but some of the designs have been a little too difficult on the eyes, especially those of us who are switching to the need for bifocals.
Did that long ago. State Treasurer Michael Frerichs, thanks so much for joining us.
Charlie, thank you for having me here.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.
State Treasurer Michael Frerichs visited GLT after a speech at a pipe trades union convention in Normal. You're listening to 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.